Luke 14. We're going to continue our series as we look through at His purpose, my priority. His purpose, the purpose of God for our lives. We're striving for His purpose, and often our purpose gets in the way of His purpose, as it often does, and we're continuing to push forward to see what God has for us. Now, if you will, jump down to verse 26, if you're there, Luke 14, verse 26, because I want you to notice something with me here very briefly this morning, that we're going to look at a principle, really something in the Bible that's referred to as purposes disappointed. Many people start something and can't finish it. Many people intend to follow Christ and yet never fulfill what they started. Notice verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, wife, and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Now remember, he's talking about the cross already before he goes to the cross. Okay? So the disciples are a little bit confused. He's clarifying. Now here's verse 28, which I want you to notice. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Oh, been there. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold him begin to mock, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, notice this morning with me. Jesus gives this parable and speaks of this individual that did not sit down and count the cost. Our purposes can be disappointed in life. You know that. You've all been there before, I'm sure. I recall back many times in my life when I intended to do something and it got a little bit tough and I don't want to do it anymore. Amen? I remember first time I went to college, and I got to college and I realized I thought it was going to be fun time, party time, and have a good... And then they started reprimanding me for not showing up to class. Can you believe that? They started reprimanding me. I got the dean called, Brother Tim, I need to see you. The dean of men came in. And I had to go to his office. He said, now what in the world's going on? You haven't been showing up. You haven't been turning any of your assignments. I said, well, I'm busy. He said, busy with what? We know your every move. You live here on the campus. I didn't want to finish it. I didn't want to do that. Many times throughout my life, I've endured very much difficulty and heartache. Why? Because I did not sit down and count the cost. You and I today, we understand this, that if we are not aware of this fact that Jesus wants all of us, not just part of us. He wants your entirety. Notice what he says. You don't sit and count the cost of bearing your cross, saying, I want to do it God's way. I want his purpose, and I want it to become my priority. If we do not sit down and count the cost, we'll be up a creek without a paddle. We cannot get through it. Many people today believe that they can do that. Many people today think that they can enjoy life and have a good marriage and raise godly children, or at least some pretty well-behaved kids, if you will, without counting the cost. We got to count the cost. We go through life. Now, notice what he says here. And I want to point out a few things here, and then we'll wrap it up for sake of time this morning. But notice, he says that whosoever doth not bear his cross, verse 27, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Now, first and foremost, we must understand that Christ desires all of us. I'm not talking about us here. I'm talking about as an individual. He wants all of us. There was a man that came to Jesus. You know the story. He was a young man, and he's described in three ways. Rich, young, ruler. That's every person in this world desires those three things. Riches, wealth, young, youth, and ruling. That's fame. That's authority. I want power over people. I want everyone to look at me and acknowledge me. Until you get up on the platform, and then you go, oh, I don't know. He says, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll do whatever I'm one of yours. And again, you know the story. They all clapped. Wow. He's so wealthy and good looking and all the girls like him and everything. And he's following Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, great. He said, by the way, can you do something for me? He said, absolutely. Anything. I'm one of your disciples now, Lord. Go home and sell all that you have. Take that fur coat off and the gold chains and go put on something that you can do business in. You can serve me in. You can reach people in. We walk the dusty trails all day. We have nowhere to sleep. He says, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus slept out on the streets. He says, you want to follow us? And it says that young man walked away sorrowful with his head down. And Jesus points at his back and he says, you see that guy? He says, you cannot serve me and riches. Serve me and well, can I enjoy all that I have and serve Christ? You could try, but Jesus reminds us of this. See, it's not the Lord stopping us per se. It's my own heart. It's human nature. He says, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon represents money and materialism. Why? Because we will either love the one or hate the other. We will hold to the one and despise the other. That's our heart. I can't do both. I can't straddle the fence, right? Now notice what he says again. You must decide today. Is God's purpose your purpose? Have I sat down and counted the cost? Now notice again verse 28. For which of you intending? Now that word intending, intention, or intendeth is used throughout the New Testament. It's very interesting to look at. It is your intentions. Now you remember what the Word of God does, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have an intention today? If you come to the book, it'll straighten it out for you. You have an intention to build something for God, do something for God. When you get alone in this Bible, in this book, I want to encourage you with that. It will straighten out or iron out a lot of things in your life. Do you remember what he says in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 5. He says, the Word of God, it is by the Word, the church is cleansed by the Word, by the washing of the Word. And he says this, not having spot or wrinkle. That's laundry. Spots are on your clothes. That's stains. Wrinkle is wrinkle. Okay? It needs to be ironed out. What does both of those things in the local church? The Word. That's what he says. By the washing of the Word. You find you a church that preaches the Word and doesn't deviate from that. You find you a church and a man who will preach the Bible no matter the cost, no matter the criticism he receives, no matter the emails he gets on Monday, he still will preach the Bible, and you ought to thank God for that church. You go to these churches today that sit around, the guy gets up and they have praise and worship for 35 minutes, nothing wrong with that. But he gets up and preaches for 10 minutes, and he preaches, doesn't even preach the Bible, doesn't even open the Bible. We had one of our people in our church. They visited some of our churches down the road. Won't say their name. We said, the guy got up, didn't even open the Bible. I said, no. He said, yeah. He got up and just read a verse. And then he spoke about what he thinks we should be doing and how to apply it, etc. Now I'm saying, you get, and the Bible will give you your right intentions. Now notice, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? That's logic right there. That's ABCs of building. How many times, and my dad and mom can attest to this many, many times, somebody will come and say, we would like to build a house. Great. And they say, well, we like this, this, and that. We want the finest of marble. We want the finest of granite. We would like this and that, and the flooring has to be just this. And you go, great. Oh, yeah, 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 good. Okay, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, yeah. And then at the end, what do they say? Okay, what's your budget? They go, well, we can only spend this much. And you look at them and go, okay, what you just asked for is triple over your budget. Okay. So we're going to have to cut a few things out, and then the people get upset. You know, well, I don't know what to do. They're not counting the cost. How many times have we done that? Oh, yeah. I went on a car lot one time, and I was on the car lot looking at cars, and the salesman said, what are you looking for? I told him. He said, what's your budget? I told him. And I was just tire kicking. You know, I didn't have any money. I was just acting like it, you know. And I said, what's over there? I like those cars. He said, no, you can't go over there. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't even want to go over there. I said, why is that? He said, it's so over your budget. If you go over there, it'll just break your heart. You can't even afford it. I said, okay, fine, I guess, okay. Where's your used car lot section? That's what I want. You got to sit down first. Now, sitting down means to meditate. Sitting down means to, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, you sit down and you consider him. You get weary in working for God. You get weary in serving God. Yes, some of you work around some really ungodly people. Some of you dear students go to school with some really ungodly people. And you get weary. You get tired. It's hard to live for Christ. You know that. And that's why the Lord says you need to consider the cost. You get weary, but notice what he says. You sit down and consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. See that? It gets hard for you. You sit down and consider. Let me think about this. Okay, Jesus went through that. They mocked him. They made fun of him, called his mom certain names, spit on him. Okay, yeah, I can get through today. Jesus went through all of that for me. Yeah, I can do that. Now sitting down and counting. He counts the cost. Whether he has sufficient, notice, to finish it. Jesus does nothing halfway. You study the Bible. This is a great, great thing to study. Jesus always talks about full or overflowing. Have you noticed that? My cup runneth over. Everything's full. Jesus finishes everything he starts. In fact, he goes over and above, doesn't he? Now just look at your life. Look at my life. He could take someone like me and clean me up. As a psalmist puts it, David writes, he says, oh, he took me out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. His feet were stuck down in that deep quicksand type of clay, that mud. You ever have that? We got clay around here. It gets real muddy. It sticks to your car and your tires. Can't get it off your shoes. He says, I'm stuck in that miry clay. And oh, he took me and brought me out of that horrible pit. And he put my feet on the solid ground. And he gave me a song in my mouth and joy in my heart. Isn't that the Lord? Isn't that the Lord? He says, you sit down and you count the cost. Do I have enough to finish? And my friend, I want to say something. If you do anything with Jesus and Jesus is with you and he's at the head of everything that you do, you have enough to finish. Amen. You have enough. You don't have to wonder about that. We have sufficient to finish. Paul tells Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy. He says that we have a Bible. No, excuse me. 1 Timothy, I believe it is. Yes. 1 Timothy. He says what? We have a Bible, a word, that a man of God may be perfect. That word perfect does not mean sinless or faultless. It means completed. That we have a Bible, Timothy, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. You and I have all we need to obey God. We have all we need to please God. Isn't that wonderful? See, you get to your work tomorrow. Oh, wait, you'll be off, except for two of you. And you get there and they say, well, the boss says, well, you got to do this and that. You go, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Well, now you know. You know, I didn't know I was supposed to. Or they tell you to do a task and they don't give you the tools to finish it. Well, you were supposed to clean this up and do this. And I thought you guys were supposed to. I told you to do that. And you said, well, you didn't give us the tools. You didn't tell. God says, I've given you everything. Now, why? Because Paul goes on to say this, that a man or woman, every person, may be without excuse on judgment day. Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. The Bible says Jesus will speak very chapter and verse. Well, how do you explain Galatians 2:20? Oh, Lord, I didn't know. I tried my best, but he's going to quote chapter and verse. We got to be very careful. We are without excuse. Now, let's continue on. Let's keep going here. Verse 29, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. See, that hits at the heart of pride. Every human being. Do you know the two greatest fears of every person in the world? I thought about this for a while, and I thought it may be skydiving, you know, jumping out of a plane, going to war. I mean, you think about these. No, two greatest fears. Number one is public humiliation. That's the number one fear of every person. You know what the number two is? Public speaking. Yeah, that's me every Sunday. Public humiliation, public speaking. No. And you now know why my brain is so messed. No. You now know why I'm so weird. Those are the two greatest fears, aren't they? You think about it. I don't want to be. This hits at the heart of pride. He says, sit down. They're going to begin to mock you. You can't finish it. You can't finish it. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear? We had an individual. Didn't know him, but. And this happens all the time, by the way. If you go on certain real estate websites, you know, Zillow or whatever, you can find places that people started and didn't finish them, huh? There was a person right over here, up in the trees here. They bought the property, everything, poured the footings and poured the slab. A big house, like 3,000 square foot slab. And guess what? Couldn't finish it. And they put it on the market. We're just trying to get our money out of it. Couldn't finish it. I don't know what happened to them. I'm not sure if they got sick or they ran out of money. I don't know. Couldn't finish it. And everyone that drives by that doesn't go, wow, look at that foundation. That is beautiful. Holy moly, guacamole, man, that is nice. Look at that thing. What, are you going to put your sleeping bags out on that thing? No. They walk by and go, ooh, wonder what happened there. Wonder what happened. I don't know. And that's what Jesus says. See, this hits at the heart. You need to understand something. If you follow Christ, if your purposes are His purposes, and His purposes are your purposes, listen, you may get mocked at, made fun of, spit on, laughed at, but listen, you can lay your head on your pillow at night and say, thank God I did it God's way. Amen? You're not embarrassed. They make fun of you for following the Lord and going to church and reading your Bible and having a strong marriage and trying to raise your kids right and keeping your finances in order. You can lay your head on your pillow at night knowing God is pleased. What are your purposes today? He says, verse 31, or what king going to war make war against another king? sitteth not down first, consulteth whether he be able to, with 10,000, to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Goes off. He goes on. You go out to war, can't meet it. We see many individuals in the Old Testament that came, in fact, did that. And they came upon that as a movie, you know, came upon the grassy knoll. And the whole side's over here, and then here comes the other side. And it seems like there's just a few until that army comes down that hill, and they realize, oh, we're outnumbered here. We didn't consult. We didn't think about. Go back to chapter 12 of Luke. Chapter 12. Oh, let me find where I'm at. Chapter 12. Oh, verse 16. Notice this. Another parable Jesus spoke unto them. Notice that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Plentifully. Am I in Luke 12 or no? Yes, I am. Luke 12, verse 16. And verse 17, he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you ever talk to yourself? Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I don't have to work. Oh, this is going to be great. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, go forth and live your life to the fullest. And do whatsoever thou wantest to do. Do I have the right version? Is that the wrong version? What's he say? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. You see that? Here's another purpose disappointed. He got a good bounty and plenty. By the way, seasons of life come and you'll get an influx of money. And every time we do that, if you're like me, I sit back with ease. Whoo, thank God. See, when you first start something, there's a lot of prayer and a lot of stress and a lot of strain involved. Try to start a church. A lot of prayer. Oh, Lord, how are we going to pay our bills? And then you come to this. And when you get an influx of money, you don't sit back and say, well, I'll take ease now. No, why? Because you're uncertain of life. You know, we don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow. So therefore, what Jesus says, he says, don't lay up treasure for yourself, but lay up what? Treasure rich toward God. Now, Paul admonishes the rich people, once again, in 1st or 2nd Timothy, 1st Timothy chapter 6. And he says what? Charge them that are rich in this world to not be high-minded or pompous or proud or arrogant, but to what? Be rich toward God. Can I encourage you with this? Keep your finances God first. I'm telling you, we've had several people just recently get on board with this, and they have, Brother Tim, you won't believe it. Lord bless, God is providing. Now again, it's not always money. We don't always get, well, if I give, God better give back fourfold. That's not how it works, right? That's His money. Everything we have is His already. He's just letting us steward that money or manage the money. And if you keep Him first in it, He'll bless you. And it's not always a return with money. It's other things, health and other things. Now think about this. This individual comes and says, now what am I going to do with all that God has given me? Not necessarily God, but all of the blessings in my life. A lot of stuff has come my way. And just a reminder, you're not going to take anything with you. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And I've done many funerals. I said this last week. I don't know why I've done three or four weddings, but I've done a lot more funerals. And I don't know what that says about life, but... And your body, Lord willing, will be right here. And if you'll let me do your funeral, I'd love to do it. And I'll say some nice things about you. And it's funny, in a funeral, people, right before the service, I'll go to them and I'll say, now, do you want to stand up and say something? And they go, they turn beet red. And they go, uh-uh. I said, they're like, I have a lot of stuff to say, but I can't speak in front of people. And then in the middle way of the service, I'll always open it up and I'll say, now, anybody in here want to come up here and say anything? Anybody at all? And it's dead silent. I said, anybody at all? And nothing. No. I did one service for a lady and nobody. And I was already done with my message. So I was like, what do I do now? You know? And so then I tried to wax eloquent and make stuff up. I didn't know what to say. Nobody would say anything. But one day we're all going to come to that end. You're not going to take anything with you. And I want to say today that we ought to take the time to say, God, what do you want me to do with my money? What do you want me to do with my finances? What is it that you have for me? I don't want to just sit back on it. Now, I'm not saying be foolish and stupid about your money. Take and understand it. You've worked hard for that, and you have retirement and other things. But say, God, what is it that I can do to help further the kingdom of God? I know a sweet couple right now. They're about 65 years old, and they retired, and they were done, and they were happy, and they had plans, a dream trip to go to Europe. They'd saved up for it. A dream trip to go across the pond and go travel the world and do all of this. And then God came knocking and said, hey, there's some churches that need to be planted across the border there in Chihuahua, Mexico. And they said, but we're retired. We're done. And the testimony is very funny, but basically said, you speak Spanish, right? And the man said, yes. It's funny how we talk with God, isn't it? He said, you've been down, you planted churches down there before, right? Oh, yes, Lord, yes. And that couple, put all of that on hold and took all their savings. And right now, they're down in a little town called Janos, I think it is, in Chihuahua, Mexico, planting their second church with a little group of Mexican people. And they go door to door in a little dusty little town every day and invite the kids and invite the people to work. You think they lay down at night and go, man, I wish we could have gone to Europe. Probably, maybe. But I'll tell you something, when they stand before Jesus Christ here real soon, when they stand face to face, as we just sang, we stand face to face with Him. We don't say, thank God, we got to go there and do this and do that. I know it's fun right now, but I'm saying there's something we got to count the cost with and look ahead and say, by God's grace, I'm not going to pull down my barns and build greater and do more and bestow more fruits. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to give all that I can to fulfill His purpose for my life. You believe that, don't you? I want to do what God wants me to do. Now, again, I'm not saying He's not going to call you to Mexico. He may. But I'm saying that we say, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And you say, you first, Brother Tim. Okay, what do you want me to do? God says, thou fool. Anytime God calls you a fool, it's not a good day. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. The foolish today. That's not something that God is using that terminology to insult an individual. He's not insulting them. He's calling them what they are. They're without knowledge. You remember Romans 1 and 2? They are without knowledge. Okay, let's wrap it up here because I must finish. You and I have a purpose. God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, on earth. On earth, moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I want to tell you something. If you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, nobody's breaking through that. Nobody can get in that. I love that. Don't let this car fool you. My treasure's in heaven. Amen. I'm still looking for that bumper sticker. Somebody find that for me and get it, would you? My treasure's, don't let this thing fool you. I'm ready. You are. Now, let's think about this now. He goes on to say this. Verse 22, if you're still there in Luke 12. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, what ye shall for the body, what ye shall put on. Now, those are necessities of life. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Neither do they have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Which of you, taking thought, can add one to a stature one cubit? Ye then be not able to do that thing which is least. Why take ye thought for the rest? You ever thought about that? We worry and fret about the silliest things. You ever make up false scenarios in your mind? You know? And then you get upset at it. Oh, I can't believe they would say that. And it's like, wait, that didn't even happen. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm back here. I can't believe those things. We worry and stress about the craziest things. And Jesus says, listen, you're worrying about things that are out of your control. And I want to say, if something's out of your control, it's in His control. Okay, you can't do anything about it. Oh, I want to fix it. I want to make it right. No, you give it to God. Let Him have it. Let Him handle it. Let Him work. That's true for all of us. That's true for all of us. Consider these things. Prepare yourself and prepare, and God will take care of it. We were on a trip one time, and I've said this story before, but we decided we were living in Southern California at the time. I was working at another church, and we decided to take a trip out this way, back home, to New Mexico. It's about a 13-hour drive. And we were driving, and we got to Phoenix and our halfway stop. And we stopped, and we spent the night. The next morning, got up, and I said, honey, I'm about a quarter tank. I better fill up. She said, yeah, that's a good idea. Pulled into the gas station there. And I got out. I did it all. Undid the thing. Put the thing in. I reached back and I said, hey, did you see my wallet? No. We turned that car upside down. Could not find my wallet. And the light bulb clicked on. And I said, the night before, our daughter here, sweet Bella, she was about 3 years old at the time. The night before, she'd been playing with my wallet. And I was on the phone, and I was talking, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, hey, hey, don't put that down. Don't mess with it. And I didn't pay attention. Well, she had dropped the wallet behind the couch, and we didn't even pay attention. I didn't even think about it. Ding dong me. And we got to feed, and we were up a creek without a paddle. I didn't know what to do. And I said, what in the world are we going to do? I don't have ID. I don't have anything. Well, I had my checkbook. And so we found one of those, you know, title loan places. They give you a cash. They'll cash advance you or whatever. And we went in there and I said, here's my checkbook. I don't have an ID. She said, oh, we can't do that. I said, you got to please. You can trust me. It's me. I showed her some other stuff that we had with my name on it. And she reluctantly, but she actually did, she cashed me a check for about $200. And we were able to go put some gas. And before that, I said, honey, I don't know what to do. And so I was planning on standing outside the gas station and actually begging for money. I was going to ask somebody, you know, I said, honey, make me up a cardboard sign real quick and let me put on my hoodie and get real, you know, would you help a poor old lost soul, you know? And I was, you ever felt that way? Now, how I'm trying to tie this into the message here, but purposes are disappointed. I didn't count the cost. I didn't pay attention. If you and I don't pay attention, think about what we're doing, plan it out. We'll have a much better time if we do. Now think through this and I'll stop here. You and I must understand that Jesus Christ is not expecting very much from us. He doesn't expect much, does he? No. He says to the disciples, they come to him one day, say, Lord, we've left all and followed you. What's in it for us? And when Jesus could have really let them have it, he was on his way to the cross, by the way, for these guys. And they asked that question, what's in it for us? We've left everything. And Jesus, in his sweet grace and mercy, says to them, not only do you have life more abundant on this earth, you're blessed beyond measure, you have your salvation, but he says you have life to come. You have life to come. And Jesus doesn't ask very much from us. If we'll stay the course and say, God, I want to do your purpose for my life. Would you pray that today? Say, Lord, I want to do your purpose for my life. You may be somewhere today. I don't know where you are in your life. You may be up a creek. You may be in a mess. You may have had some past mistakes. Hey, join the club. We've all messed up. And come back to a loving Savior that has grace and forgiveness and mercy waiting for you with open arms and say, God, I want to do it your way. That prodigal son came back and he was worried his dad was going to be ticked off. He spent all of his inheritance. He gave his father a bad name. He misrepresented the family. He was known around town as being the drug addict and drunk. And he comes back and he goes, he's going to be so mad at me. He's not even going to accept me. And what happens? The father not only meets him halfway, comes past halfway. Arms wide open. Son, I've been waiting for you. I'm so glad you're back. You are? Yes. You're not mad at me? No. In fact, hey, let's have a celebration for him. That's the Lord Jesus. And we think about today, friends, are you seeking him not just in certain areas, in every area of your life? Every area. Lord, help me. Some of you young people today, are you seeking God? I encourage you, seek him. Pray to him every day. Spend time in your Bible. I know it's a little unconventional. It's a little weird. It's hard to do. None of your friends may do it. Spend time in your Bible. Memorize Scripture. Because I want to do it your way, God. I don't want to take those detours that I've seen other people take. They get messed up with somebody they're not supposed to be with, and they come back around, and their life is messed up for the next 20 years. Middle-aged folks, are you where you're supposed to be? Elderly folks, are you where you're supposed to be? Are you serving God? Now's not the time to put it into neutral. Well, I'm retired. I got everything set. I'm just going to hang on until God calls me home. No, get busy for God. What can I do? Brother Tim, come to me. I've got a list for you. What can I do? We need help. We need help. What is it that God's calling you to do to fulfill his purpose for your life? Okay, I'll stop right there. All right. Let's pray as I pray. I'll have Miss Amber come and start to play a few verses of invitation. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your sweet grace. Lord, I know I'm preaching to the dear, sweet people that love the Lord. I thank God for each one of them. I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, for their walk with you. I pray you'd help us, though, Lord, as we walk, myself at the very front, myself first and foremost, Lord, to where I am, Father. I pray you'd help us all to keep your purpose a priority. It's so easy to get so distracted. Father, if there's someone here that knows you not as their personal Savior, they've never taken time to invite you in to their life and say, Lord, I ask you to save me. Take me to heaven when I die. I want you to become Lord of my life. I want you to lead me. I want to do your purpose and your will. If there's someone here that's never done that, Lord, I'd love to take the Bible and show them how that's done. Thank you for all that are here. Please bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.